Well, good morning again. Still felt a little different being, I should have had somebody else maybe do worship this morning. I am excited to be here. I'm actually quite nervous, and I'm usually not nervous to speak, but anyway, I feel like a magician this morning. I've got like a little box of goodies. Some of you know my rubber duckies. You've seen them before. Aren't they cute? They're in a row, right? Mm-hmm. They will be used for something. I can't see them, though, now. I should have put them here. Anyway, all right. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for today. I thank you for today and for this opportunity, this honor to share. Lord, I just ask you to open the hearts of the hearers. Let them hear clearly what message you have for them. And Lord, I yield myself, I yield my members to you, for you to speak through me. Thank you, Father. So today, let me get my, I didn't even ask Pastor Obi what time I go to. I am married to Gary, but I'm not Gary. Just saying that as well. So, so the message that I have for today, I shared it, the 8-minute version, in a staff meeting about 6 weeks ago. And when Pastor Obi asked me to do it on a Sunday morning, it sounded really thrilling. And then this morning came, and I wanted to crawl. Under the keyboard, you know. Anyway, I thought, no, he's the pastor. He must know, right? Trust the pastor. So this is a message about living a transformed life. And that idea is not man's idea, right? It's actually God. So if you turn in your Bible to Romans 12:2. Let's go there first. I'm going to be reading out of two different translations because I just really love them both. Romans 12:2. So in the Passion, it says, "Stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you." Amen. Notice this is not optional. He's saying stop. Right? Now, we have a choice. We always do, right? But stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will. This will empower you. Interesting, right? As you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Let me go to the Amplified version. Amplified always just amplifies it, right? Whatever we're reading. 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed. There's that word again. Changed. That's another word for transformation. Change. How do we do that? By the entire renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Whose job is it? Interesting, right? Interesting. So when, I did just finish saying I'm not like Gary, and yet I feel like I'm going a different direction. it is interesting that those are instructions for us to do. So when we got saved, when we received salvation, right, that was, God did that. And we, our spirit man was made new. We are a new creation. We can't do that part, right? That is God. But in that scripture, it talks about our bodies and it talks about our minds, the soul. And that is our part. That's us participating with what he's already done. And as Gary and I have did a lot of ministering overseas, mostly online, we've been noticing such a disconnect in that area, in the area of the mind. People are, Gary always says he's like a magnet for doctors, and he is. But they're very, so they're educated. They're educated. They have the theology or whatever. But there's something missing. There's like this disconnect with the power, right? The power of a transformed life, right? And so we've been ministering a lot about that. And, you know, in Christ, all blessings belong to us, right? Healing, health, prosperity, victory, peace, right? But whether our mind is renewed to that fact or not can stop us or hinder us from walking in it. What a sad thing. He paid such a big price, did he not? He gave his life for us. And it says that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. You got, this is what I want. Awesome. Yes. Respond. Abundant life. So if we're not walking in that, where's the disconnect? And we need to care about that. We need to be sick and tired of being sick and tired as the body of Christ. We see so many, I don't mean this church necessarily, but I mean the whole church as a whole, living defeated lives. And you know who loves that? The devil, our enemy. He loves nothing more if we'll stay small. Go to church. You know, do your weekly, bi-weekly duty, right? But as soon as we start operating in our authority and in what God's provided for us, oh, that messes him up. Because guess what? It's not just for you. When you walk in this, it's contagious, right? Okay, I'm really getting ahead of myself. So we're going to be talking about a principle of, you know, there's so many that we teach on and have talked about, but I'm going to just pick one for today. When we talk about renewing the mind, I want you to write this down. Does anybody bring pen and paper when they come to church? Awesome! You guys are great. Yes. Guess what? You should. Now, my sister always used to say to me, you do know you have a smartphone, right? I'm like, yes, but I like pen and paper. Now, if you're a device person, go to your notes app. Take notes. Because you know what? You never know. Not because, you know, Pastor Obi or anybody up here is, you know, it's not about what they say, but it's what the Lord deals with you about as they're speaking. And you, I don't know, does this happen to anybody else? You always think, oh, I'll never forget. And then you get in the vehicle and you get home and, oh, what was that he said? Because in the moment, it was so powerful, right? So take notes. Okay, I just wanted to give this progression that we talk about before I get into the message. So we give this principle when we teach about renewing the mind and transformation. Right thinking leads into right believing. It starts here, right? But it leads to right believing. When you're believing right, you're going to start speaking right. Okay? When we start speaking right, which is speaking what he says over our situations, right? When we start speaking right, guess what? We're going to start acting right. Our actions are going to line up. And faith without action is what? Dead, right? As soon as our actions start lining up, right acting equals right results. Does anybody else want results in their life? You know, that's sort of a business term. We don't use that word in church. Well, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I'd like to see some answers. Anybody else? Yeah. Right? Guess what? Those are results, right? They are. And we want to see the miracles. We have a sign on the door, right? So we want to start praying effective prayers. I mean, I didn't come up with this. It's in the Bible, right? Effective prayers that what? Avail much, right? So this is all God's terminology. Right thinking leads to right believing to right speaking, right speaking to right acting, and actions lead to results, right? All right, that was just all extra. So what the principle in this whole transformation process that I want to really hone in on today, I call it mastering the mundane. And I know that that doesn't sound real exciting, but I'm telling you, it is. When you jump into it, it really can be. So this is, I'm hoping that when we're done, that we'll have an understanding of how real transformation, which another word we can use, we've already talked about, is change, right? How it really actually happens. Does anybody want to see change in their families? In their marriages? How about in your health, in your bodies? Yeah, we all have an area. So it can be spiritually, it can be in the natural. We're all needing change, right? You know, they say that Albert Einstein said this, but actually when you study it out, they can't really say he said it, but it's a quote that's given to him. He says, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? So if something's not working in our lives, guess what? And I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the body, right? Because I believe we as the body of Christ should be the forerunner in every area, whether it's political, the education system, in our health, in our marriages. We should have the best marriages, should we not? Right? We should, right? Now, remember, this is a work in progress. This isn't a one-and-done thing, right? But that's our goal. So there should be something inside of us that knows that we're made for more. Where this all started for me was a few years back. We were living in Montana, and we were going through a really, really hard time. We had lost pretty much everything. And I was out walking one day around a lake, and I was crying out to God in desperation, because that's when you're in a crisis, that's what we do as Christians, right? And I was crying out to him, and these are sort of the words that I was using. I was asking him for a key. What's a key to why we're going through this? What's the key to get out? What's the key? And also I was asking, what's the secret to what was happening in our lives and how to get out, right? What I thought God would answer, being the mature Christian that I am, I thought he would say, fast for 7 days. And then in my mind, I added this part, and then a check's going to come in the mail, right? Or do this, and someone's going to call. And that is not anything of what he said. This is what he said to me. And it wasn't an audible voice. It just wasn't. But there's a handful of times in my walk with the Lord where I have never questioned if it was him or not. You know, other times you're like, is this me? Is this not? There's like a handful, undoubtedly not. And this was one of them. And this is what came up to me. The secret to your success lies in your daily routine. I was like, you must not have heard me, God. Like, we're in a crisis here. Like, what? What? You want to talk to me about a daily routine? Okay, he didn't hear me. So I said it again. God, I cried out again. And you know what? The answer never changed. It came two or three times. The secret to your success lies in your daily routine. I got mad. I was really upset with him, only for a few minutes. I quickly repented, but I was, because I was like, God, this is not an answer. We can talk about this, the routine part of my life. Like, let's get out of this crisis and then. But he didn't budge. I thought, Lord, is there time in a crisis to think about a daily routine? We had the conversation. So, and this again has still been a work in progress. This wasn't a one and done that day and I've mastered it. And no, I'm still working through it. So to me, what this has become to mean is that I have been on this journey of learning how to become more intentional and more skillful in the small daily disciplines, again, whether they're spiritual, whether they're natural, that might not feel significant in the moment, but they're actually shaping who we're becoming. Amen? And remember, the Bible talks about us being babes in Christ or maturing, right? It gives that story about that. And we should want to not stay as babes, right? To grow up. And I think it's actually time that we do, because again, if we're not living and walking in the fullness of all that he died to provide for us, we need, again, to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you know what? Nobody can do that for you. I wish I could do it for you, but I can't. I have to do it for myself, right? So here's just a few things that I've learned as I've been walking this out. For a long time, I thought that transformation or change would come from like big aha moments, right? A powerful service, a revival meeting, those times when God's moving in such a strong way that you think, this is it. Like, after tonight, my marriage is going to be amazing. And guess what? You go home at the end of that service, and Gary is still the same person. That ticks me off sometimes, because he throws his socks here or there or everywhere. Like, can you believe that nothing changed once we got home? Like, so I start, and Tanya too, I'm picking on him, but you know what I mean. So these, I'm not making light of a powerful service or a revival. I'm not making light of that. But what I'm saying, they matter. They really do matter. They have their place. But what I started noticing was again, this disconnect, right? That we go back home, you know, we're at a service and maybe somebody prays about our finances, right? And we leave on cloud nine. We get home, we look at our desk, and either they're piled on our desk, the stack of bills, or they're shoved in a drawer where you can't see them, because that's going to help, right? They're still there. They're still there, right? And we need to know what to do about that, right? Healing, same thing, right? I know that Benny Hinn always wanted Norval to travel with him, because he said people in his services, you know, he does or did more of in years past, but, you know, miracle services where people were miraculously healed, but they were going home, and then what? They had no teaching of how to stand on the word for themselves, right? So this was the disconnect that I was experiencing. And I got to that place. I mean, and losing everything will do that to you, right? You just realize, I can't stay here. And what I noticed was, in those moments of a special meeting, a big meeting, that change that we start to feel, that moment alone, though, didn't have the sustaining power to actually carry that change long term, right? And I just got tired of being excited for a moment. We have four children. Anybody else have a slew of children? Yeah, like, you're going through stuff, right? There's always something going on, right? We wanted change. We needed change. So I started thinking about sustain became one of my favorite words. Learning to implement things into my life that I could sustain and that I could be consistent with. And I'm still growing and learning. Something I want you to write down. Gloria Copeland said this years ago, and it has stuck with me since then. She said, inconsistency, not inconsistency, but in the word consistency lies the power. In consistency lies the power. And so this has been stirring in me with all the things that I've done with nutrition and different things. That has become my message, consistency. And about a month ago, Pastor Obi, one Sunday night, we watched, he was teaching on spiritual warfare. Was anybody here when we watched that video of that ex-Ugandan witch? So I don't know what all she said, but this is what stuck with me. She was sharing strategies, right, that they used to have as witches to kind of stop a Christian, right, from accomplishing anything for the kingdom of God. And I don't remember anything else she said, but this I remember. She said the main thing that really messes them up in their trying to stop us is Christians that pray consistently. Wow. That seems, again, too insignificant, right? Because we think, we have the mindset of, we got to have a powerhouse prayer service, pray the fire down for 5 hours straight. And again, I'm not against that. But is it bringing about the real change, like what that witch was, that ex-witch was talking about, right? Really stopping the enemy in his tracks from wreaking havoc in your family. Is it working? Because if it's working, keep going with it. But I don't know about you, but I don't have 5 days like every day to do that. So what do we need to do consistently, right? So what I began to realize is that this transformation that Romans 12:2 is talking about, which comes from renewing the mind, comes from two things, or is two things. Number one, it's not optional. I already mentioned that. It's not optional. Now, in saying that it's not optional, we have a choice, but I'm talking about people that want to progress. You've made that decision. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's move forward. So then, this is not optional for those people. We always have a choice. God will never force you. But if you decide, I want to walk and live in the fullness that he has for me, then this transformation process, renewing our mind, cannot be optional. And number two, it's a daily thing that we have to do whether we feel like it or not. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Hagin has a saying, and I love this. He says, the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than your hair stays combed. Right? So if I say to you, well, did you brush your hair today? Well, no, I brushed it last Sunday. Right? We wouldn't even think of doing that, right? We know there's certain things we do every day. Same with brushing your teeth, whatever, right? So number one, not optional. And number two, these things are daily things that we do. We have to implement in our life, whether we feel like it or not. So what I found was that I wasn't looking for just what was going to happen from those big, powerful moments, that it was going to actually come through my daily routine. And I started to see, as I jumped into this pathway, even though I didn't understand it, in the middle of a crisis, like I wish God could have dealt with me about all this when things were like not quite, you know, just maybe a little bumpy. No, it was blown out crisis. You know, and maybe he had tried to tell me and I didn't listen. There's that too. But it was in the middle of a crisis that this happened. So as I started walking down this road and Gary and I, you know, pretty much came on board that this was, you know, we saw that this was a missing piece for us. And we decided, you know, and we were Christians in the ministry, right? So this isn't just for babies, right? This is, again, moving forward, maturing. So we're learning how to really live by faith. You know, Pastor Obi, I almost couldn't contain myself when, I don't know, a couple months ago or whatever, when he was sharing about his walk, how he started living by faith and running out of gas and all of that. Like, I just almost couldn't, because we've been there. We have been there, and it is a walk, right? It is a journey, this living by faith. But one of the things the Lord said to me, during that those beginning moments was he said to me, "Does it matter?" So I was looking at, I had learned to put, you know, Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, right? And why do we write the vision? Right, so that he that reads it can run with it. So guess what happens if you don't write it? You're not running with it. Right. So I took that a step further. I do a vision board. So I was looking at my vision board one day of things that I was sick and tired and sick and tired. I was like, you know, doing that. And the Lord said to me, I was looking at everything and thinking, okay, what does this look like daily? These are the dreams. What does this look like daily? He said to me, does this matter? Does this matter that you do this every day? Every day, every day. Because if it doesn't, if you don't pre-decide that these things matter. Now you might say, okay, what things are you talking about? Okay, so I'm just picking one. This is just one thing. Let's say the Lord, I'm going to pick a spiritual discipline. Let's say that you know on the inside that he's dealing with you to go deeper. Okay, now that could mean a whole lot of things, right? But for you, you know that the Lord's telling you, I want you to read this a little more. I want you to actually read it a little more. So that means daily, right? You've made a decision. This is what he's, okay. Does it matter if it happens or not? You have to pre-decide with whatever your disciplines are that you're working on, pre-decide. Because if you don't pre-decide, there are going to be storms that are going to come, distractions, right? You have an enemy, right? That, again, does not want you being on the cutting edge of who you are, and he does not want you affecting anybody else for the kingdom, right? So we have to decide ahead of time that this matters. Your marriage matters. Or do you want to just keep living with the man? Or do you want a vibrant marriage, good communication, your best friend, right? How about your kids? Does it matter if you pray for them daily? Does it matter, right? All of these things, right? And again, the enemy is not going to be excited. As mundane as this message even seems, I know from experience that the enemy is not excited about this because he loves it. And I've said this at the beginning, when we live small, ineffective lives on the struggle bus, he loves that. And why? It's not just about us. Our kids, grandkids, and the others that other people around us, right? So when we talk about building consistency, if something doesn't feel important to you, you might visit it occasionally. You might do it when it's convenient, come to prayer. We have prayer here 7 nights a week, right? There's no excuse if you feel the Lord's wanting you to grow with prayer, right? If you haven't pre-decided, you might visit occasionally, you might do it when it's convenient, when you feel motivated, but you're not going to build your life around those habits, around those disciplines. And here's a good one, you won't protect your time for it. If something's important to you, we got to get really good at learning to say no. Ooh, that's a hard one. And especially in Cleveland, Tennessee, where there's something going on, okay, I'm going to say 24/7, it might not be 24 hours a day, but really, there's a service, there is somewhere to go, something to do, somebody that needs a almost every hour of the day, right? So we have to get crystal clear on what God's calling us to do, and then stay in your lane. I'm not called to do what Keziah's called to do. I got to do what God's telling me to do, right? And then protect my time for it, right? You're not going to stay with it if it's inconvenient, you don't feel like it, and the storms come, like I said. If you don't believe that it matters when you're tired, when you're distracted, when you're pulled in 10 different directions, you will always default to what's easiest. And what's easiest? Rarely, I'm not going to say ever, but rarely leads to growth, change, and transformation. What's easiest rarely goes that route. Now, this isn't because you don't love God, right? It's not because you don't have good intentions. You're just not being intentional. Yep. It's simply because we've not made that decision ahead of time, pre-decide, right? John Maxwell gives this story, and I love it. He was a pastor for years. Now he's kind of like a pastor to business people. And he calls this the power of five. So when you're on this journey and you and the Lord are having these discussions about what's important in your life, what you need to let go of, what he wants you, you know, again, this could be in the area of health. It could be, you know, whatever it is that you've decided is important. His recommendation is five things that you have decided you're doing daily, that it's non-negotiable. So he says, he's a writer. He's written over 70-some books, I think it is, or maybe more. And so he's a writer. So one of the things, or I think two of the things that he decided are non-negotiable for him is that he reads every day and he writes every day. So somebody comes up to him and says, "Oh, but John, it's Christmas. Your family's here. You know, the festive." He says, "It doesn't matter. I read every day. I write every day." "Oh, but John, it's your birthday. The grandkids are here. Go have some cake and have fun." And he said, "Yes, but I read every day and I write every day. Every day." Now he said, without going too deep into that, he said, maybe it doesn't look the exact same as the other days, right? Maybe the other days he's doing 20 minutes of that, but he still goes to where he goes, cracks open the book, and reads. Maybe it's only that day for 5 minutes, but he still did it because it's a habit. And he doesn't want any time to lapse in there because, you know, one day of, oh, doesn't matter, leads to 2 days, oh, doesn't matter. The third day, you actually genuinely forgot that you made a decision that you need to walk today, whatever the habit is, right? So John Maxwell's Power of Five, that really, really ministered to me when I heard that story. So we've all had moments where we thought, I'm going to get to that later, I'll be more consistent next week. It's just one day, it's no big deal. And in that moment, it really isn't a big deal. Nothing dramatic is probably happening. There's no immediate consequence for the most part. But over time, those small decisions begin to form a pattern. And that pattern will become your lifestyle, right? Luke 16:10 tells us that if we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. That's the progression. It's not the other way around. So it's his words, right? So again, we often think the big things in our lives are coming from big moments, big opportunities, big breakthroughs. But more often than not, they come from small, repeated acts of faithfulness. And a lot of times when no one else sees, right? So when we're talking about mastering the mundane in our lives, we're also not talking about becoming overly rigid or structured necessarily, right? But what I want you to think about is recognizing that God does some of his greatest work in the most ordinary parts of our lives. And if you do decide, if you make up your mind that these small, consistent actions actually matter, that's when something starts to shift. You stop treating them as optional. You begin to see them as foundational. And that's when your life starts to move in a different direction. Your spirit man can grow stronger. Your daily habits begin to work for you instead of against you. And if you don't decide, you might find yourself stuck in cycles, knowing what to do, you want change, but you're just not experiencing it. You might want to write this down. What's easy to do is also easy not to do. So the things that have the things that have the greatest power to shape our lives are usually very simple, very accessible, easy to start, right? But because they're so simple, guess what we do? We underestimate them. right? If the secret to growth in our lives required something extreme, something intense, something dramatic, we would probably take it way more seriously, right? But because for the most part, this looks like 5 minutes of reading your Bible daily, making a decision to pray daily, maybe worshiping, learning to worship God on your own at home daily, opening your Bible when you don't feel like it, preparing for something, a meeting, when you're getting asked to preach, whatever, when no one's watching, those little things, they don't, it just doesn't feel urgent then, right? It doesn't feel weighty. It just feels optional, right? When it's little things like that. And that's where the problem is. Because remember, what's easy to do is easy not to do. So many things can be postponed without any immediate consequence. And that's where the deception lies, right? If you skip a day, nothing falls apart. There's no alarm that goes off. You don't feel a dramatic loss. Your life won't collapse overnight. So then we convince ourselves that this doesn't really matter, right, if we're doing this. But Scripture, again, paints a different picture. Proverbs 24, 33 to 34 talks about this idea. I love this. Just a little sleep, a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands, and lack comes in like a thief, right? It doesn't describe life falling apart just because of one major rebellious decision. It describes a pattern of small, repeated choices. Ugh, don't like that. No one wakes up one day and decides to lose their passion for God or their discipline or their focus, right? This all happens gradually. It happens in what feels like small, harmless decisions that are repeated over time. Here's the good news, though. The same works in the opposite direction, right? That's the good news. Just as neglect compounds, so does faithfulness. That's the good news, right? Every time you choose to do the simple thing, even if it seems small, you're moving your life in a direction. You may not feel like it in the moment, but you're building something. And we have to shift our thinking to that. We tend to look, again, for those big changes, those big moments, but most of the time, God's asking us to be faithful in the ordinary, something that's not impressive and that's, again, not getting any attention. And this is where transformation begins. So instead of asking, when you're in a situation, maybe even a crisis, I hope it's not for you, but what big thing do I need to do to change my life? Maybe a better question might be, what simple thing, maybe that I already know, could I be doing that I'm not? That I know, right, but I'm not. The secret usually isn't complicated. It's not hidden out of reach. We serve a God who refers to us, himself, as our Father. He's our Father. He's our Creator. It doesn't bring him joy just watching us continue on the struggle bus our whole lives. He wants us to know his will, to walk in it, and to experience that abundant life that his son, he gave his life for. Again, that's such a big price. So another thing I found out is that the results are usually invisible for a while, right? And often delayed, right? So if you make this decision that, you know, these habits, these disciplines in your life matter, and you begin to show up consistently, there's something else you're going to run into, and this is where a lot of times people give up. You will not always see anything happening, right? And this is a reality that we have to accept, right? But as people, and especially in this day and age, we want immediate payoff. We want feedback right now. We're used to doing something and being able to tell rather quickly if it's working or not. But the power is in the compound effect over time. Remember what Gloria Copeland said. In consistency lies the power, right? So think about reading 10 pages a day of the Bible or maybe of a good book, right? There's so much, so many good books out there. So skip a day, no big deal. Skip a week, maybe still nothing. But you do that consistently over months or years, because remember, a week turns into right? It does go, and it goes quickly the older that we get, doesn't it? That's thousands of pages and the possibility of a life transformed by knowledge, perspective, and wisdom. Invisible work compounds, producing visible fruit in its season. Okay? So the kind of transformation that we're talking about doesn't always give you that immediate kind of feedback. You can spend time in the Word today and not feel any different tonight. You can pray and not immediately see anything shift. You can begin to make new habits, better choices. You feel motivated after today, right? You're going to be more intentional. And tomorrow, you're not going to see any visible results right away. And this is where we have to be careful not to think, is this even doing anything? Anybody make a decision for in their natural bodies to work out, to do push-ups, to go for it? And we, in 1 week's time, we want the body that we see in the magazine. Doesn't work like that, right? But that's what we think. Is this even doing anything, making a difference? And then we lose momentum. And it's because we're not seeing evidence. But remember, as believers, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, right? So scripture actually prepares us for this as well. In Galatians 6:9, it tells us not to grow weary in doing good, because in due season we will reap if we don't give up. That phrase, due season, super important, because it tells us that there's a gap between what we're doing and what we're eventually going to see, right? There's a period of time there where it looks like nothing is happening. I want to share a testimony right now of an old mom who had the opportunity to be discouraged and think nothing was happening. I'm just going to read it pretty much word for word. I recently met with a pastor friend who is a circle maker. I've met very few people who pray with more intensity, more specificity, more consistency. Over lunch, Wayne told me a story about his grandmother, and it was evident that the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Intercession is part of their spiritual DNA as a family. Wayne's grandmother raised 12 children while managing the household. After every meal she prepared, she would go to her room to pray. 3 times a day, the children could hear her interceding for them by name. When she was on her deathbed, at the age of 91, the entire family gathered at the family home. She invited them into the bedroom that she had prayed 3 times daily. She prophetically declared to her 12 children, "I am going to die, but the power of my prayers will come to pass in each of your lives." Her predominant prayer was that every member of her family would surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus. At the time, 6 children were following Christ and 6 weren't. That was 15 years ago. The tally is now 10 yes and 2 no, or maybe I should say in faith, not yet. Wayne shared with me how the 10th, yes, the oldest child, came to Christ. My grandmother's oldest son is named Johnny. A month ago, his next-door neighbor had a dream in the middle of the night about Johnny. The neighbor felt compelled to invite him to come to church, and he accepted the invitation that Sunday, which happened to be Palm Sunday. When he walked into the church, all he could hear was his mother's voice calling out his name in prayer. The pastor asked if anybody wanted to put their faith in Jesus, and Johnny raised his 92-year-old hand. He got baptized the next weekend on Easter Sunday. I did the math. Wayne's grandmother passed away when Johnny was 77. From the day he was born until the day she died, she prayed 3 times a day. If you add that up, it's 84,315 prayers. She didn't get to see the answer to her prayers on this side of the space-time continuum, but she will be one of the first people to greet her son when he steps into eternity. Did her prayers have anything to do with the neighbor's middle-of-the-night dream? I cannot imagine that they were unrelated. Thank you. And that is the beauty of prayer. We never know when our prayers will be answered. We never know when we're the answer to someone else's prayer. You might be the answer to 84,315 prayers. When we live by faith, we will harvest prayer seeds that have been planted for decades, for centuries, for millennia. When we live by faith, those memorial offerings turn into crowns of glory. Amen? She didn't stop. She did not stop every day, every day. And again, do you think she had times where she thought nothing was happening? Probably all the time, right? So Jesus explains this process even more in Mark 4:28 when he talks about how growth happens. First the blade, then the head, and then the full grain. In other words, it happens in stages. And most of those stages are not visible at first. Something you might not know about me is I am a farmer's daughter. So I grew up with a lot of planting, harvesting, all of those conversations happening. And you know, I that was all I knew. But now, oh man, I value every one of the concepts that I learned. Because you know what? God, Jesus makes reference to seeds, right? To planting. He makes so many references. So I don't have to try to imagine it. I lived it. I didn't know, but I lived it. So this is like planting a seed, right? Right, I've got some dirt here, right? So today's the day I'm planting cucumbers. We have tons and tons of seeds, by the way. Not that that's important right now. Okay, so I'm planting seeds. I want cucumbers. I'm gonna push them in a little bit, make sure they're covered. Okay. I'm not here, but I water that, and I leave that. So the next day I come out, there's no cucumbers. What the heck? A farmer that knows what he's doing does not start digging to find out where the cucumbers are. Right? They know. They already understand this process. Leave it alone. Right? They trust the process. Right? They trust the process that in due time, what's going to happen? I'm going to get cucumbers, right? I will get cucumbers. So when you put a seed into the ground, nothing about that moment was impressive. I mean, the seeds are so small. Has anybody planted carrots? Has anybody seen a carrot seed? They are like non-existent, and they're black, so they match the dirt. So up in Saskatchewan, where it's like windy 24/7, oh my goodness, what a chore to plant carrot seeds, because they're blowing and then you can't tell where they went because they're black, right? So there's nothing impressive. There's no immediate signs of growth. You don't see anything breaking through the surface, but that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It means that growth is happening somewhere else first, right? And I think, again, this is where a lot of times in our own lives people stop, right? Because they feel like it's not working, right? You start something with good intentions, you show up for a little while, but then there's no visible result and you begin to lose confidence in the process. Over time, we drift back into what's familiar, right? If anybody knows anything about the bamboo plant, When you plant bamboo, you don't see nothing for 4 to 5 years. Then when it shoots through the ground, within months, it's this tall. So does that mean that nothing was happening those 4 to 5 years? No, it was growing somewhere else. And you can't say, oh, but I want, no, every bamboo plant is gonna do the same thing. You can't buy different seed and think, well, no, this one's going to grow fat. No, they do all do the same thing. 4 to 5 years, you don't see nothing, and then, whoo, you do, right? So just because you don't see progress doesn't mean that you're not making progress, right? In fact, some of the most important things that God is doing in our lives right now are happening beneath the surface, long before anybody else ever notices them, right? if you don't understand that, great opportunity to quit, right? But there's something we need to hold on to that we know is being formed in us, right? And another thing is these actions, that another reason why we could stop is because these actions just seem insignificant. That's why I call this mastering the mundane, right? They are boring for the most part, everyday thing. Do you think that every time Pastor Obi, he's our pastor, and we've had some amazing services, but if you think that every time he goes to pray that all of heaven is just surrounding him and the angel, no, that doesn't happen. Well, I sure hope it doesn't. I'm just assuming, because, you know, like there are days where you don't feel like it. You just don't, but he's made prayer his lifestyle. Right? He decided, it became a habit, and he's did it now for so many years. That's his lifestyle, right? He doesn't ask himself if he feels like it anymore. It just, he's doing it, right? But that doesn't usually start like that with habits, right? when you look at the actions in the moment, they will feel small, almost too small to carry any real weight in the direction that we're trying to go. Maybe choosing to respond differently to a situation, maybe making a better decision in our habits. None of those things are going to feel like they're going to change anything. And because they don't feel powerful, we don't treat them powerful, right? We treat them again as optional. We tend to overestimate what can happen in a single big moment and at the same time underestimate what God can do through small, consistent acts of obedience. We're drawn to what feels dramatic because it feels like that's where change is going to come from. I did it for years. While all the while, God is often working through things that are not impressive. How many Bible stories, right? David, right? Moses, I mean, all of them, right? We have example after example. So think about a seed again. If you take that seed, there is nothing about it that looks significant. It's small, it's ordinary, and if you didn't know better, you might assume that it doesn't carry any value at all. But everything that that seed is meant to become is already contained within it. Wow. Little seeds, right? Isn't that amazing? When you place it in the soil, it doesn't suddenly look more impressive. In fact, it disappears. I can't see any of those seeds that I pushed down there, right? It goes into a place where you can't see it anymore. And from the outside, it can look like nothing is happening. Again, that doesn't mean that it is nothing, that nothing is happening. It just means the process is taking place in a place that isn't visible yet. So the small decisions that you make, the disciplines that you commit yourself to, the moments where you choose to do what you know is right, even if it seems insignificant, those things may not look like much in the moment, but they're carrying more weight than we even realize. They're shaping your thinking, they're strengthening your spirit, they're forming patterns that are who you're going to become. Now, this is one of my favorite scriptures, Zechariah 4:10. He says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." It doesn't say he's rejoicing after when everybody else gets to rejoice. No, he rejoices when the work's beginning, when it looks like this. That's when he rejoices. Wow. So guess what that requires? Faith. We cannot do this walk. I wish he didn't want that of us, to walk by faith. But those are his instructions. As Christians, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And again, in Luke 16:10, we were reminded that what we do with what seems little is actually preparing us for something greater. So the issue is not that small things don't matter. It's that we don't always recognize that they do matter. And because we don't recognize their value, we overlook them, delay them, and treat them like they can wait until we're more ready or more motivated. But the truth is, the life that you're praying for It's not built in those big moments that you're waiting for. It's being formed in the small moments daily that you're tempted to ignore. When you begin to see that clearly, it'll change the whole way that you approach your everyday life. You stop looking past what feels ordinary, and you begin to understand, hey, wait, this is an opportunity for transformation. So here's the last thing that I want you to think about. Our time is limited on this earth. Now, we know about eternity, and this part here on earth will be the shortest amount of time that we live. But you are an eternal being. You are going to live forever somewhere, right? And this is the shortest part. Scripture says in James 4:14 that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. I just happened to bring some vapor. There's a life. There's Pastor Obi. There's Andrew. There's Steve. Oh, now it smells like hairspray up here. James 4:14. Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. We need to not be counting time. We need to be making time count. When you really think about that, this will start to change the way that you see how you're spending your days. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What we do daily matters. It matters. If our days are made up of small decisions, then those small decisions really matter more than we realize. This may seem to you like a self-help message, but I promise you it is so much more than that. At the end of the day, our habits, our disciplines, they are all about really loving God, loving ourselves, and learning to love others well. Bad habits, an undisciplined life, a non-transformed life can have negative impact to the third and fourth generations. But the flip side of that, it's also true. And what God does for us is never just for us, right? It's also for third and fourth generations. We as people, we tend to think of right here, right now. God is thinking nations and generations. Amen? You do this transformed life. You take the time to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You do all of these things that we talked about today. You do this for your kids, for your grandkids. You do this for your friends and family. And you do it ultimately for the glory of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? So today what I want to do, like I said earlier, I can't do this for you. Pastor Obi, even he's the leader of this house, he can't do this for you. You know, pastors, leaders, they preach messages over and over, and they're just hoping that somebody takes that word for themselves and runs with it, right? Because we can't walk this walk for someone else. So I guess today I do want to pray for you. And I'm not praying for you from a place of, I've already mastered all this. Oh, no. This is a process. This isn't a one and done. But if you are sick and tired of being sick and tired in any area of your life, I don't know what that could be. We've talked about marriages. We've talked about family situations, communication, maybe a job, finances, your health, whatever it is, if there's any area where it just seems like, you know, you feel like you've been hitting your head against a wall with no results, and you've been crying out, and you would like me to pray with you. And if something maybe that I said resonated with you, could I just get you to stand? I just want to pray with you today, if there's anybody. This is a walk. This is a process, but it has to start somewhere, right? It has to start somewhere. It doesn't just magically happen. You have to make that decision. And it's okay if you're not making that decision right now. That's okay. Maybe you've already made it at some point, and you're feeling recommit, you know, stirred up again. Lord, I want to get back up on that. I heard a testimony one time of a preacher, and they needed a car. And he felt like God had dealt with him to believe for it, stand in faith for it. And they were praying for it. And he had told God that it was going to happen on December 31st. He told God that. And December 31st comes, and it's 11 o'clock p.m., and it's 11:30, and there's no car, and 12 o'clock, and no car. And they had been believing and standing on scriptures. And so he didn't get totally discouraged, but he just said, Lord, like, how did we miss it? And he wasn't sure. No answers were really coming. And so he kind of let it go for a little bit. And they kept going on and in life. And one day, I don't know, I forget the time span, but he was reminded that, yeah, they still don't have a car. So maybe they just had one vehicle for the two of them. I forget the exact situation. But he said the Lord said to him, I didn't tell you December 31st. He said, why did you stop? He said, you were doing so good. He said, but you decided December 31st. He said, get back up on that. Take it back up. Because see, that it was God. That wasn't just his idea. It was God's idea. If you're believing for your kids, I don't want to be God in this, but he wants good communication. He wants us to thrive as families, right? You can, don't quit. Don't quit. If you're believing for your children, if you're believing for your marriage, whatever it is, do not stop. Don't put a time limit, maybe like him, right? But don't quit. We need to stop praying as soon as possible prayers, and we need to start praying as long as it takes. You know what I know about the devil? This I got this from Kenneth Hagin too. Somebody said to him one day, he said, man, you're always positive and upbeat. You'd probably even have something good to say about the devil. And he said, well, he is a persistent cuss. And you know what? He is. He doesn't stop. And you know what? There is no promise that he is ever gonna until we enter in to that other side. So you know what I hope today? I really hope you become more persistent than him. More determined that you're gonna walk in the victory that Jesus already provided. Let's make that connection happen today, right? Let's get tired of living disconnected in whatever area. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just thank you so much for everyone that has stood up here today. Lord, I thank you. I don't know what dream or vision, desire is on the inside of them that they've been holding on to. Maybe some of them for years and years. Lord, and maybe there's been times that they've wanted to give up and maybe even have for a certain amount of time. Lord, I pray today that on the inside they would be reignited, stirred up again to get back on their faith. Get back on their faith. Get back to believing. Father, I just thank you. I thank you today. I thank you today for something, one word, one sentence, one idea that was spoken. Lord, let them go home and let it just keep playing in their head. That they would make a decision, God, that they are going for it. They are going for you, that they are, again, getting back up on their believing, that they're not going to quit. They're not going to be quitters. Lord, I just thank you for each one. I thank you for the work that you're doing. I'm believing with them for strong families, for children that are on fire to serve you, God. Thank you for restoration coming to this body, restoration of families, of lives, of marriages, of vision, of finances, Lord. So many have gone through so many storms where the finances and that part of our life has been so shaken. Lord, I pray for total restoration. Total and complete restoration. And show them today what their part is to walk in that. Jesus, what you have provided them. Whatever the little disciplines, those small little things are, Lord, you show them. You show them, Lord. You know how. They're your children. You're their God. Lord, speak to them. Lord, your word says that if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. So as they draw near to you, Lord, and maybe not just today, maybe this whole coming next week, Lord, let it stir within them. Lord, what you're dealing with them about, what you're speaking to them about. And I just thank you for that, God. Lord, we're believing for victory. We're believing for a body that is walking in the fullness so that we can reach out to this community, Jerusalem first, right? And then to the nations, that we can really reach out from a place of victory. And I thank you, Lord, as I close here today, I'm reminded of my ducks, that this whole transformational message is that we are getting our ducks in a row. Things are starting to line up. Our lives are aligning with your perfect will for us. That's the goal. That's the vision. And I pray that all week long they're going to remember my sparkly, beautiful, pretty ducks. I thank you for that, Lord. I'm so, so honored, Lord, to be able to share this message, Lord. It burns in my heart. So, Lord, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.